Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 24th of November, almost Thanksgiving 2020. And thank you so much for being with us today, or perhaps you're on the archives. We archive our shows now over at our website for American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's over at ace-ed.org. ace-ed.org. You'll see an icon there for all the podcasts we do. I might add, our new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access, just hit the website. It's an online journal. It's a terrific issue. I hope you enjoy it. Go over there to ace-ed.org. Just click right under where it says read the current issue. And this is our Champions of Equity issue. Champions of Equity. We've honored eight great educational personalities, okay, out there. And they have a wonderful section dedicated to all the wonderful things these eight have done. And if you want to nominate one of your colleagues, okay, or if somebody wants to nominate you, go over to ace-ed.org. You'll see a banner over there that says nominate someone to be a champion of equity. And we'd love to hear from you. And please join our consortium. It's free to educators. It's all about equity and access. And it's at ace-ed.org. So please go over there and do it. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio and also at Access 2, the number 2, Access 2 Equity, ED. Okay, so please check all that out. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs, my name, and then Facebook is my name, Larry Jacobs, or Education Talk Radio. And we've got Dennis Yim here today, and Dennis has been a Kaplan teacher for years now, and we're going to talk about how he prepares people for the GRE, the GMAT, the SAT, the ACT, good friends of ours as well, okay, and does it online, works with people, builds their confidence, does all kinds of stuff. So without further ado, let me, and by the way, thank you, Katie, over at our good friends at Kaplan for introducing me to Dennis. Thank you, Katie. Dennis, you there?
I am here. Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here, sir. You calling from Brooklyn? Where are you? Are you in Brooklyn, home of the Dodgers?
Actually, I'm in a
time
Queens,
warp,
but
yeah,
it's,
I'm in a time warp.
It's sad to say I'm in New Jersey at the moment. I live in Fort Lee now, which is a great state, but you know, coming from Queens, it's definitely been a transition for sure.
I'm sure it has been. Good old Fort Lee, New Jersey, and actually, it's a famous historical site, by the way. Okay, with the Revolutionary War, a lot of people just say Fort Lee, but it actually has a thing to do with the Revolution. Do you know that? Did you know?
Yeah, the deep history. It has a deep history. Yeah, I was surprised to learn when I came here, but you know, living here, I've definitely learned a lot more about, you know, the roots of the city as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And are you? You're Katie described you to me as a veteran Kaplan teacher, which I think is wonderful. Everybody knows Kaplan, test prep people, and all the other wonderful things they do. But are you also, do you have a degree in education? What are you? Tell me about yourself, Dennis Yim.
So I was blessed to find Kaplan. I think coming out of college, I wasn't sure really, you know, how I was going to kind of pursue my, you know, my career, and finding the opportunity to help students in the classroom and helping them kind of reach their goals has truly been a blessing and a passion of mine that I've found for the past 15 years.
Wow, that's incredible. And do you teach kids, or let me say it this way, prior to COVID, were you teaching students in person, or have you been online all the time with kids? And I shouldn't say kids.
So
I use that phrase, but you know what I mean, students.
No, I know what you totally mean, Larry. You know, I have actually been in the online classroom for over a decade now. So when COVID hit, it was a moment in time when, you know, everyone is scrambling to get online, and I found I had a chance to really help a lot of my fellow educators get more comfortable, get ready, and feel like they could help their students.
Well, it's so cool, and I really have to ask these questions because it's been a long time since I've been involved in taking a college prep test. Do you work, and I don't mean this any of this to be funny, do you work during the day? Is it always in the evening? Do you work with large groups? Do you work with small groups? Do you work with individuals? Run down how that setup goes with what you do, okay, with Kaplan. It's interesting,
yeah,
to me,
so,
Jen.
Yeah, it's a mix. So, you know, it's really when the students are available. So usually during the school year, classes are in the afternoon, right after school or in the evening. But in the summer, we have a lot of daytime classes as well. And the classes can range from, as you said, tutoring to sometimes I'm teaching classes of hundreds of students. So it really depends on the material. For the most part, I'm spending my time with classes sizes of, you know, what you typically see in a college class or in a high school class, so around 20 to 30 students.
Wow. And I have to ask these questions. How did you do in your SAT? Let me ask that stupid question. Everybody's going to ask that. How did you do in your SATs or ACT? How'd you do? How'd you get into this? This is amazing. Because this is the great fear, okay, of everyone.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people take these. Some people take these tests in stride. Most do not. Okay.
Yeah,
and I was one of the do nots, by the way. Okay. I'm talking about 12 million years ago. Okay. When I went to college. So my question, how did you talk to me about this? How did you get so good at this? This is interesting.
Well, you know, the test hasn't changed a ton since then. And really what it comes down to, what I try to help students with is making them understand it's not about necessarily what you know. It's about decision-making. It's about understanding the challenge that's ahead of you, getting comfortable with it, and then having the confidence to tackle it on your own. So, you know, we get that question a lot from students too. A lot of times they ask, like, how am I ever going to be at the level that you're at? And it really comes down to, you know, it sounds corny, but it's about practice. But as a teacher, it's my job to make sure that students can understand that they can do it, that this is not something that's above them, that this is not something that they can't handle. It's making them understand that one question at a time, we can get to a place where they can really break down the challenge ahead of them. And so, and that's true for a lot of education. You know, I think a lot of times students, you know, especially now, you know, I hear from a lot of students that, you know, this is unfair. This is a time when, you know, why is this happening to me? It just makes things harder. You know, we had a lot of challenges with the AP tests this past year. And it really comes down to, again, telling students and making sure they understand everyone's working so hard to help them get to, you know, kind of have the same opportunities. And, you know, I was just reading your latest edition. I got to say, these champions of equity
you.
That you're highlighting in your issue are, you know, I think that's the goal of everyone that's probably listening right now. How do we help these students feel like they can make it, they can cut it?
I love that, Dennis. And by the way, I'm going to say this right off the bat. If you'd like to write something for us about college preparedness, we'd love it. You know, an equity and access thing. We would love it.
Well,
we're always looking for people who are right out of the trenches, so to speak, who are articulate. You sound like you fit the bill. We'd love it.
I would love to. I would love to.
Why
if
don't
I could
you
have
do
an impact
that?
On and helping folks, I would love to do that for sure.
Well, I thank you for the compliment about the magazine, and B, please, I'm gonna put you in touch, all right, with my. In fact, I just noticed I do not have your email. Okay, do you have mine?
Yes, I do. Absolutely, Larry.
Okay,
yeah, I'll make
yes,
sure
sir.
I talk to Katie. Katie and I are good friends. We'll make sure.
Okay, good. And I'll
sure,
get in
yeah.
touch with Katie, and we'll go from there. Okay, that's perfect.
Awesome.
All right, certainly I have Katie's email. All right, that's Katie over Katie of Kaplan, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, down in Texas. Okay, Katie, the wonderful Katie of Kaplan. Okay, this is really something. And you said a key word a few minutes ago that I think is underestimated when it comes to test prep. And that word is practice, okay? And, you know, I remember reading, I can't remember which exact book it was, but Malcolm Gladwell, one of his books, he said that the people who are true experts, and he used Bill Gates and some other people, they practice over 10,000 hours, whatever it is that they do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They practice for over 10,000 hours. Now, somebody going just getting ready for college or whatever they're planning to do, they don't have 10,000 hours per se,
yep.
okay?
Yep.
But my point is, it's practice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, some people would call it homework, but just put that word practice, okay? And again, with the GREs, the GMATs, the SATs, practice. What is that? When you say that, what are you talking about? How do
yeah,
they practice?
Yeah, and I love that you said that, Larry, because I think I hear from a lot of students, they hear that 10,000 hours, or they hear the amount of time that needs to be put into it. And they get intimidated. They get scared
yeah.
right off the bat. This isn't something they feel like, again, that they can tackle. And so what I mean by practice is having, well, number one thing I absolutely preach in the classroom, and I'm sure many educators listening do as well, is having growth mindset, right? It's not that you're bad at math. It's that I'm not good at math yet, right? It's that mentality of saying,
right.
look,
right.
I don't need to become an expert. I just need to be able to get one or two, a few more questions correct on whatever test that I'm taking, and that'll take me over the line. That'll kick me above. Because again, what I tell them is, in context, an application or really any test is just one piece of the puzzle. There's so many other things that schools are looking at. They're looking at your personal statement. They're looking at how you can kind of fill their diverse student body. So what I again remind students is, it's not about becoming some, you know, whiz. It's not about becoming Albert Einstein, right? It's one question at a time, getting to a place where you can sit there, not panic, right? And just feel like you can do the best of your ability. Because a lot of times students' brains, they shut off immediately as soon as the time starts and as soon as the test is in front of them. So
scary.
So that's a huge one. That's a huge one. And the other I would say is, practice is not just doing hours of work. For me, actually, what I remind students is, you know, yes, doing the questions is the first part of the battle, but the real practice is when you're willing to go back and review the questions you just did. I think as students, sometimes we do our work, and when we get it wrong, we want to avoid it. It's not something we want to, you know, kind of tackle head on. It's something we want to throw away and never look at again, Larry. But what I tell them is, the real learning happens through, well, you know, the word we use is remediation, right? The real work happens when you go back and you're willing to say, I got this wrong. That's okay. Let me figure out what I can do differently the next time. And so, you know, it's probably those two things that can really change a student's trajectory. And it's something that I'm always battling towards in any classroom, just reminding them, you can do this. You're not good yet. That's the word. That's the language I want you to use.
I like
and
that.
I want you to go back. Yeah. And I want you to go back and really look at the things that you had a that you found difficult, and that's how you're going to get there, one step at a time.
Do they listen? Do they get it? Do they start to get it? I mean, you're pretty good. No, seriously, you're pretty good. Okay, I can hear it in your voice of calming and building confidence, etc. Okay, but we're talking for the most part. I know there are going to be some older students of teenagers. Okay, basically.
Yeah.
All right,
yep.
Who are all a little, no offense to teenagers, nuts, okay? So they're worried, and they're upset. Some of them are trying to get in to be the first person in their family to go to college. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, okay? Some of it, their own, et cetera. Do they listen?
You know, I try to simplify it. I don't try to make it too complicated. I have a catchphrase in my classrooms. I tell them, this is about having no surprises. That's what I tell them, right? Like, at the end of the day, that your job is to experience it. Your job is not to master it. Your job is to experience it, take it one step at a time, so that when you get to the actual test, you have no surprises. That's the context I try to give them, because a lot of times for students, it's like, why do I care about this when there's so many, you know, million other concerns in my life? Why are there, how can I even put even a minute towards this when I'm thinking about all the other things that I have to think about, especially during this pandemic? And so I try to give them just little tidbits at a time, and hopefully it sticks. I will say, for me, you know, you always hear teachers learn more from their students. I think the challenges their students are facing change every minute. And so I'm always trying to – it's a constant battle, Larry. So maybe my answer to that is, I hope they listen. I see it in their practice. I see them making the effort, and that's all that matters, right? If I can get them to open the book after class when I'm not there, then I feel like I'm
the job is done.
At least step one, right? And so so that's the main challenge for sure.
And as you're teaching, Deb, I missed this since you brought up the equity question before. Okay, do you see a difference? Okay, between I'm going to use I don't know if there's a difference between gender, but there might be. But do you see a difference between first generation students when you talk to them versus their mom and dad went to college? Okay, those kids. Do you see a difference as you deal with children of different socioeconomic class? How's the equity and accessibility factor play into what you're doing as you prepare people to take these tests? And we're going to talk about online learning, but you're doing this online. I just think this is a fascinating conversation. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, no, No, for sure. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why I feel like I've been really blessed to work at Kaplan, because I think, you know, as much as I feel like test prep sometimes takes flack for, you know, only being available to maybe those of the higher socioeconomic classes, I will say Kaplan makes a tremendous effort to really reach students of all diverse backgrounds.
They do.
You know, we have scholarship programs, we have Starting Line, which is, you know, we're always taking into account what types of students we're trying to support. And we have just numerous, countless pipeline programs. And that's where I feel like, you know, to answer your question, Larry, I would just say, when you find a student who is willing to put in the extra effort, it doesn't matter what background you come from. If I find that those are the students that really, like, I just want to open the door. I want to open all the doors for them, right? And so, and all the teachers here at Kaplan, and that I've worked with, I just got to say, it's been great to be able to work with students of all, you know, all backgrounds, you know, and I would just say, Larry, it really comes down to, again, like, do you understand what difference it can make to have 10 more points on the test that you're taking? And if you do, you're going to be able to find a path to be able to get to the goal score that you're looking for. And that's what we're here for. And so more so than anything in their, background or anything like that, it's more just about, do you see the potential future ahead?
Yeah, I love that.
Whether or not, whether or not you're from any background. Yeah. And so that's really what we try to push on. And a lot of times I don't even know till, unless I really truly build that personal human connection, what background students are from, especially online. And that's true. And maybe online is the great equalizer in that sense,
I hope it is.
And I think as educators, we got to make sure we always look to level the playing field for all our students, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, that's the key right there. And I must ask, you're preparing students for the test. Do they get back to you and tell you how they did?
Not all, but I would say definitely the majority, because I'm constantly bugging them, it really that's the joy of this, right? Because there's an end game. There's a moment time that you're working towards. And, as much as test prep is, yes, it's getting ready for a test, but like I say, if I can help those students get those few extra points, it's not even just the test score, Larry, right? It's what happens after the test score, right? It's the school that they get into, or it's the scholarship that they receive, and those are really the bright spots.
And I hope they do stay in touch with you, for goodness sakes, because that's really important what you're doing out there, and you get a lot of satisfaction out of it. You're right when you say there's an end point. You know, most teachers, although you can move a kid forward to the next grade or graduate a kid, all right, there's no particular end point, okay? And this actually has an end point that you can measure very quickly and see, and I think that's pretty cool. You know, as best as you can, like you said, this doesn't lay on you, it lays on the student, okay? But you're really catalyst to move it forward, then. You really, really are. So online learning. Okay. You've been doing this for years. Most teachers have not been.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people realize, we ask teachers to do this suddenly on November 15th online, and most of them had not been trained at all in it. Okay. It would be like someone being near a car accident. You have to take care of somebody who's direly ill from the accident. You're not a trained EMT. Okay, and all of a sudden you have to act on it, all right? And so most teachers struggled, and they're getting more used to it now. It's still a tough out there for them. Some of them are beginning to like it a lot. You've been doing it quite a while. Give us a few good tips.
Yeah, for sure. I will say, Larry, just so everyone hears, like, there are definitely challenges that I faced personally when I made that same transition years ago, and I'm sure it's the same ones that – As you said, teachers started facing this year or earlier this year. And so, those were, just to make it quick, really simple, making human connections was definitely a tough one. Not being able to, some classes I could see their faces, some classes they weren't on camera.
Yeah.
And so knowing what students are thinking And what that turned into is kind of swinging too hard to kind of answer every single question or comment that came in. So the last part of it was finishing on time. So I don't know if your listeners have had similar challenges, but those have been the ones that I've faced. And so I will say, Larry, I got some tips. I would love to share them. I will say probably the biggest ones, and the number one that I'll throw out there is, teacher, I guess I want to encourage the educators out there to be vulnerable. And what I mean by that is, like, don't be afraid to be corny. Don't be afraid to be yourself. I think when I first started out, I had a certain lens of, you know, like, oh, I need to be like that YouTuber, or I need to be like Sal Khan, or you know, I need to be, you know,
I need
so
to be
articulate.
Alex Trebek. Yeah.
Yeah, or I need to be you, Larry, right? I need to be so articulate. I need to be so perfect. But, you know, what that lends to is that you kind of have this artificial approach that students can immediately read in on. And so, you know, I think they get it. They get that you're not a YouTuber. They get that you're not a Twitch streamer. And so number one thing is get to a place. And this is not easy. This is, again, the toughest thing for me personally. And I can talk about this more. But it's getting
Please
to a
do.
Place where you can truly feel comfortable and be yourself, right? And so and I think that's extra hard when your students aren't really giving you anything to work off of, right? When they don't even chime in, or when they don't even respond to something that you tried, right? And so maybe the second half of that, the second part of that is invite them to join in, right? And so what I do early on in my classes is that I'll give a lot of love to input. And what I mean by that is small things like, hey, Larry, I noticed your facial expression when we went through that last question. You know, I noticed you're really into it, like, you know, and invite them to kind of share for themselves, because it's new to them as well, right? It's a different environment for them. It's
true.
They're not used to participating. And so you have to make those moments to give them the chance to understand that they matter. Because I think a lot of times when students are sitting at home at their computer, they wonder if this is like YouTube and they're just watching and no one's really caring that they're there or participating. And so take the time to really make that intentional, to say to them, hey, I'm here. I care about you. We're going to build this environment together, this safe learning environment, and it's going to take those steps to be able to get to where you need to be. So those are.
And you know, I gotta stop you for a second, because that was an amazing point you just made.
Yeah.
The teachers, and I hadn't thought about this. The teachers, might be their first time doing this, but it's the first time also for the students to see their teacher in this situation. So everybody's new to this. Okay, it's a tough situation on both sides, not just one.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great point. Please be vulnerable, invite them, okay, make them matter. Okay, I'm taking notes here. Notice the small things and comment. And if you do that, they'll do it in return. Okay?
Yeah,
pretty
absolutely.
Soon
it's one of the
– Good tips.
Yeah. I think, you know, especially that connection piece. I think students are desperate to find connections to – you know, they're not able to see their friends right now, right? They don't
–
You know, all they see is the screen. Everyone has Zoom fatigue. Everyone, you know, no one wants to be on camera. But if you, again, be yourself and give them the opportunity to connect, we have a saying that we've been using for the entire year. It's compassion over content. Just like I said, Larry, it's less about what's in the book, and it's more about the willingness to open the book, right? It's understanding that students are going through these challenges and making sure they know that you care, right? That in itself, we've seen make such a huge difference over the past few months, especially as all these tests get delayed or canceled or postponed, and you know, letting them know what they're doing now matters and that we are here for them.
Yeah, actually, I forgot about that. And I do know that a number of tests have been postponed, and there's been actually some challenges with that. I do know that they haven't been able to get in touch with everybody. I think those are winding down now, okay, as we get more used to this stuff. What have you been hearing from students regarding that, any frustration level, okay? What are you hearing on that side?
It varies, right? It varies depending on the student. But for the most part, it's a lot of, you know, stress. it's stress added on to what is already a stressful period in their lives when they're striving to be more, they're striving to grow. And so, you know, for these students, again, the message for them has been to focus on what they can control, right? And so, you know, none of these tests are things you want to cram for anyway. And so, and a lot of students do that no matter what, right? You're going to cram because it's a date and there are other things that they care about more leading up to it. But taking advantage of the extra time they have, trying to get them to a place where they can be more comfortable. And then again, helping them recognize everyone's going to be flexible. As you know, Larry, a lot of schools, you know, have gone test optional. There are lot of ways that you can move ahead in life without having to wait for some of the things that can't happen right now because of the pandemic. And so it's, again, being there for them, being a guide, helping them get the information, making sure that they, you know, don't panic, right? And that they know, again, that someone's there for them to help them get to where they need to be.
And what have you found, Dan? And you've been doing this a long time. To be the and we divide classes in when we're in school usually into 45-minute periods, maybe an hour, that type of thing. But that's in person, all right? Yeah. And are you finding that online they have a longer attention span if you diversify it a little bit, or is it a shorter attention? In other words, how do you time your teaching? Okay.
Yeah.
You've been doing this a long time. I don't know what do you have, an hour per class? I don't know what you have, but that's a lot of time to fill, or it may not be enough. So how do you keep them engaged and occupied if you need to? You know the question I'm asking. You have X amount of time.
Yeah.
How's it work out?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question. It's a challenge that I personally face, but here are the tips that I would give. Number one is to really take advantage of learning objectives. And what I mean by that is truly, truly be intentional as you're prepping on what you want to accomplish. And I get into this trap where if I get really into some topic, the time slips away, right? You just keep talking and talking, or you try to push the students too far in one given lesson or time frame, and you lose them. You lose everything, right? Because if they leave the class thinking, oh, no, what did I just do?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what you did the first 30 minutes. They're only going to remember that feeling of the stress.
That's right.
And so really keeping it simple in terms of what you try to accomplish in the class. And, you know, what that means for me personally is that when I get into the classroom with those students, I'm really just trying to make sure that they leave feeling like they can do more on their own. Right. And what that also means is when I'm keeping it simple for those students, it's not just what we try to cover in terms of content. It's also the different ways we cover it, right? And so what I mean by that is I really try to focus on practical application when I'm in the classroom. I try to focus on questions. I try to focus on making sure that they understand why what we're doing matters. And so, you know, I talked about compassion over content. I also make sure when I work with our teachers to say that we go over content with context. Language that you might have heard is like the flipped classroom. Flipped classroom is hard for us because it's hard to even get them to do homework. It's even harder for them to do anything before class, right? But I try to treat it in a way to make sure right away their brains understand what the value is, what that practical value is. And so focusing on questions, keeping it simple in terms of what I'm trying to cover, and then mixing it up, right? And so what I mean by that is,
I know what you mean.
You know, there are a lot of tools out there right now that you could be using, like Flipgrid or other ways to get students into the action to help them feel like they're part of the environment. And that is that's a big tip I would throw out there for anyone who feels like they're losing their students, who feel like they're, you know, losing their students' attention. You've got to make it interesting. And you know, I know that might be opposite of what I just said in terms of keeping it simple, but, you know, one activity, trying new things, don't be afraid of, you know, giving your students a different opportunity to engage with you. And then the last thing, Larry, is this is an interesting one, but you'd be surprised what different camera angles will do for your students.
I would be, but that makes perfect sense. Think of a movie. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, it could be as simple as like, so what sometimes what I'll do is I'll have a piece of paper and I'll just have a camera that focuses on the paper while still having a camera that's on my face. And that way a student can choose which view they want to look at, right? And sometimes if you add in an additional camera, if you're really tech savvy, I don't know if you have tech teams that can help you, if you can add even like that side view, sometimes it really just gives the student an element of, it's less that this is just like a typical video call. You know, I think when the pandemic first started, we had a ton of students tell us, all I can see is my teacher's forehead because their camera angle isn't in the right place, right?
Yeah.
And you know, but being thoughtful about that, and again, I don't want to overload teachers at all, but if you're trying to get
I think that's
you know,
big.
If you're trying to improve day by day, I think those are things that can really, really help for sure.
Well, just think for a second, what you just said is incredible because it's so obvious, yet nobody thinks of it. You're the first person I've talked to that said that about changing the camera angle, and just think of a movie, okay? So imagine a movie that just had a static camera. Think about that, okay? How long would you watch that movie? And the reason, it might be the same character talking, but they'll close up, they'll move back, they'll change the angle, same exact lines, same just continuing scene, but the angle's different because that's the way that's the way humans think. You are really good at this, Dennis. You're good at this.
No. All the credit goes to my colleagues. You know, I got to give a shout out. We started a blog as soon as the pandemic started. I have a colleague of mine. You definitely probably want to have her in a future episode. Her name's Chris.
Oh, I'd love
Lerner,
to. Who is this person? Wait, but who is this?
She's our director of learning science. I'm sure Katie can make the connection, but we work closely together we made a digital classroom resources blog at our, you know, maybe we can share that afterwards as well, but we went through a whole bunch of tips and had a series of webinars to try to support anyone who was looking to, you know, get one step ahead to keep trying for their teachers and for their students. And I will say, Larry, this may be the first time that a lot of teachers are even seeing themselves or have the opportunity to see themselves in action through recording.
That's right.
I would highly, highly encourage them to go watch themselves. You know, that was a absolute game changer for me and maybe the scariest thing I've ever done in my entire career.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
No one really wants to see how they're doing. And I think seeing yourself, seeing how you're presenting, you can learn so much in terms of how you can, again, tweak things to help students feel more comfortable, to help them feel more engaged. You know, audio quality is another one. If your audio quality is bad, your students aren't going to listen to you or they're not going to want to listen to you. So I think those are little things you'll pick up and you'll find ways, little by little to get it.
They're not so little. So, all right, now I just want to say this. Katie, I know you're listening or will be listening in the future. Okay. So, yes. Who was it? What was that woman's name?
It was Chris Murner, K-R-I-S Murner, M-U-R-N-E-R. And she's our director of learning science. And she's just been someone who's been working with their teachers for even longer than I have.
Impossible. But I wanted to say you can come on with her. We can have more than one guest on the show. Okay.
Katie's
listening somewhere along the line. Okay. So let's, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get this all together. Dennis, it's been a pleasure to have you here. I got to tell you, you really know your stuff. I really enjoyed this show. So thank you so much.
Larry, thank you so much. Can I just say one last thing to the teachers?
Of course.
Out there, for sure.
Sure.
I just want to say, you know, I know I've given a lot of different suggestions today, but I want to say you're all doing great. And I want you to remind yourselves of that, right? Like if you're listening, you're on the right track. If you're looking for places to improve, you're on the right track. And so don't beat yourselves up. I think teachers in general carry a lot of guilt that they could always be doing more. But if I may leave you with just one message and one tip, it's be yourself. Just focus on getting comfortable, and if you get there, students will recognize it, and over time, you'll see them respond. So you're doing great. Thank you, Larry. It's been it's been so great to be able to share this, for sure.
That was just great. And which I echo what you said. I've said it a couple of times on the show. Just take a minute, every educator out there, from superintendents to classroom teachers to everybody in between, and pat yourself on the back. We didn't close down. We might have closed the physical building, but we didn't close down education. Okay? And it's working. You know, so, Dan, you're a great guest. Come back. Promise me.
I promise you, Larry. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. We're going to nail you to write an article. You're going to become famous. Okay. People will stop you on the street, ask for your autograph. If I were you, I'd go out and buy a wig and sunglasses so you're not recognized. Okay?
Thanks, Larry. Thanks
okay,
again.
No problem. It's radio. That's how important you will be. Okay? So I have nothing more to say. All right? Dennis, have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. You too, Larry. Have a good
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye. Dennis Yim, everybody. Okay, Dennis, obviously a credible and veteran Kaplan education teacher. Wow, he's been teaching GRA, GMAT, SAT, ACT, and what great tips. I hope you listen. I hope you share them with your friends. Please go over. Do what Dennis did. Read our magazine at ace-ed.org. There's a big icon that says Read the Current Issue right underneath. Click right through in the cover, and boom, you'll be in Equity and Access magazine. You'll love it. All right. And join with us over there. It's free to educators at ace-ed.org. Dennis, thanks a million for this. Katie, my friend, thank you as well. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, now 2 days before Thanksgiving. Wherever you go for Thanksgiving, have a good one.